Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And girls are girls.
Ore o dare da o to omotte yagaru.
How long have you been preparing that one?
Your greetings are just going to get longer and longer, aren't they?
Maybe.
I hope so.
In today's episode, we're talking about Pokemon Origins, which released in 2013. I'd usually say why I chose this one, but actually Gauz chose this one.
No, I just suggested it. You chose it. It's on you. I'm not taking responsibility.
No. Don't blame me for this. It was animated by Production IG, Zebek, and OLM Inc. Yes, three production companies made four OVA episodes. They are the companies behind Fenna Pirate Princess from last year, Mega Man NT Warrior, and, well, you may recognize OLM as the people behind Dobatsu no Mori, aka Animal Crossing the Movie. They also make every single Pokemon, so it's weird they only made one episode of this.
That is actually really strange.
Pokemon Origins has a My Anime List score of 7.74. The story follows Red as he tries to fill the Pokedex and become the very best like no one ever was. Pretty much. So to start off, what's everyone's experience with Pokemon?
Played it a lot. Played a lot of the games. Surrendered and gave up completely on Game Freak around Pokemon Sun and Moon. And since then, I haven't touched a single Pokemon game.
So which was the first Pokemon?
Oh gosh. I believe it was Silver, actually. And then from there, I think I played Red and just continued on playing most of the games.
Okay. Gauz?
I had a bootleg Pokemon Red on a floppy disk when I was but a little boy. Yeah, I played some of the later ones, but I think that was the one that sticks out the most to me. I played up to Game Boy Advance, I think.
Myself, I first played Pokemon Green before Pokemon had been announced. It was still being called Pocket Monsters in Japan. And they were probably going to bring it west, so I played a fan-translated version of Pokemon Green, which didn't end up getting released in this country. That was when I was, like you, Gauz, when I was but a wee lad, and I didn't know right from wrong, and I knew that it was probably not good, but the sites did say if I deleted it within 24 hours, it wasn't stealing.
Nice.
I had no idea it was bootleg. Like, I don't know where I got it on a floppy disk. And I was like, oh, this is just a Pokemon game on a floppy. And you need to run the emulator inside. I didn't know it was an emulator. I just thought that's how you play the game.
That's actually quite good. I played, well, every game up until whatever the last Game Boy Advance game was. I didn't play any of the DS ones until I reviewed Alpha Sapphire, or no, Omega Ruby for GameGrind.com, and that was on the, it was a 3DS game, but I played it on the 2DS, and I've not really gone back to play the others, because I just don't feel the series anymore. I really enjoyed Gold, and it had day and night cycles, and you could go back to the original place from the first lot of games, and then They just didn't really do more with that. They just removed that and started adding other stuff.
It does feel like Silver and Gold were just the epitome, like the best Pokemon games, and then it just crashed down from there on.
But yes, the OVA follows, as I said, the adventures of Red. You see him go to see Professor Oak and get his Pokemon, and you see his rival Blue. Then there's four episodes of how he becomes the Pokemon champion. And if the Pokemon anime was this short, it would have been cancelled long ago.
Oh my god, yeah, I was so shocked. See, I wasn't super sure if this was going to be just the entire going up to the Elite Four and all that. So I was really shocked when I reached episode 2 and there was just that massive time skip. I was like, what? what's happening?
Yeah, I literally tried to find out how I'd missed an episode when there's only four of them.
I know, I got the same. I was just so confused. And then from there, I just lost my interest because I was like, okay, but I don't even know who's on his team anymore. Like, at this point, I don't care.
Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying, because in the final episode, he's got the Persian, and you're like, I didn't even know he had a Persian, and now he's winning fights with it.
I was also shocked specifically by the Persian. I was like, what? I was just really upset. It was a horrible choice.
Did you get surprised by the time skip, girls?
I mean, I've seen it before, and like, I was fine with that. I mean, it follows the game, and most of the game is grind, basically. And again, I didn't really care about who's in this team, whatever. It was fine. I feel like you can't do much better with adapting Pokemon Red. I mean, you could try to pad it out, but it will become the TV show, which is horrible.
I will fight you about that later.
It is certainly decompressed storytelling. A note I made early on was the reason that Red chooses Charmander as his first Pokemon. He picks it up and says, "Ah, I want the fire one because my name is Red. My dad says it's because fire is red," or something like that.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's such a lame reason to go for Charizard, honestly. Like, I would have just rather his name wasn't Red and he just liked, I don't know, fire. I would rather he was Red and just like fire Pokemon over that weird choice.
So something about burning passion or whatever. Yeah. I don't remember it exactly, but it was wonderfully generically shonen, so I was fine with that.
My dad said that he hoped I'd grow up to have a burning passion. God, it's so weird.
One thing I really did appreciate was the fact that when it began, they showed like the menu. I was really fond of the way the episodes began and ended with the menu. It really felt like it was meant to be for the game and not just a separate alternate version of Pokemon.
Yeah, I will admit, the first time it comes up with a menu and the arrow scrolls down and then back up, like, I've done that. I remember doing it multiple times while I played games on the Game Boy.
Oh my god, the arrow moves.
The end titles take place on a Game Boy screen. I mean, they're not green or pixelated or anything, but you see the outline of a Game Boy screen. I quite like that.
Yeah, I was really fond of it. It was a really nice touch.
What we were saying about it's snappy. I did, in my notes, I did moan about them skipping over so many seemingly big events, but I did do also have a note saying at least the amount of filler is low.
Mm-hmm. See, but I feel like he fights Brock and learns, I don't know, like the meaning of Pokemon fighting, I guess. And then they just somehow go from him being that into him being a wonderful trainer with three badges in, oh my gosh, which is the city? I forgot the name. When he finds the Pokemon, the ghost Pokemon area.
Lavender Town,
thank you. I know I was stuck with Viridian. So he goes to Lavender Town. Now he has three badges, and apparently he's a really confident Pokemon trainer. And I don't know, I feel like, first of all, it was a mistake to skip Misty when she was so important for the shows, let alone the fact that she's a gym trainer. Everything was just so rushed that I found myself struggling to care by like the halfway into the second episode, knowing that this only really mattered for as long as it did, and then I would be seeing 5 months in the future or something.
Some of the trainers got lines, but I think Misty was animated for 2 seconds and didn't have any speaking lines.
I hated it.
I mean, in the game, trainers, gym leaders didn't have much importance. Like, it was tiny little milestone for you to do before you moved on to the next town. So, like, you would probably remember doing the first gym, and later it would just be, oh, I need to do this to move on now.
Yeah, that's true.
So I felt like that was fine.
See, I think that's a fair argument, but the problem lies with how, like, they skipped. I felt like Misty should have had more importance simply because she appears on the. Isn't she the second trainer? Is she the third? I forget.
She's the second one.
Yeah, see, so she appears in the show. She's the second trainer, so he definitely wasn't going to be experienced by then. I feel like it would have shown more his progression in a more smooth manner if they'd at least shown the second gym, where he goes from fighting Brock and not knowing type differences into, oh, look, he's doing better against Misty because he finally knows how to use a lightning against the water.
There's a couple of reasons I can see why they would have skipped Misty. One, because, as you say, she's in the show, so people would be expecting her to play a bigger role, and they're trying to distance this from the show. And second, his rival, Blue, uses a water-type Pokemon, and we're already going to see him fight Blue a couple of times. We don't want to keep seeing him pit Charmander against water types.
That's a fair argument.
I'm not sure what, like, if you could cover all the gym leaders. I don't think there would be much to add from that. Because again, in the game, it becomes almost padding to do every single battle. You know, you just do it to grind up levels. Once you get the mechanics of the game, then that's it. You learned it. Now go grind through the story to get to the end. It's the whatever power creep. You just play to get more power to defeat stronger enemy, to get more power to defeat the stronger enemy, etc. That's the game, basically.
Well, one of the skips that I didn't like was, oh, by the way, I found my way into a Team Rocket's secret lair and I met their boss, and so then I'm on to something else. Let's just ignore that. And, oh, now I'm meeting the boss for the second time. That's less important than meeting the first time.
That's a very good point, honestly. Like, they should have shown how he feels about all of, you know, Team Rocket's horrible endeavors, because this show had some pretty dark themes. I mean, the OVA felt like it had a lot darker themes than the show, and it felt like it was way more real and grotesque almost.
Honestly, expected Gauze to argue about that.
Oh no, it's like, again, it is darker than the show a bit. It's fine.
Okay. I don't quite know what's Team Rocket's plans for Pokemon were. They were selling Pokemon. Giovanni mentioned that Pokemon are tools for business. What business? Why are you selling these wild animals that any 11-year-old can capture?
I was really confused about that, especially because, so in episode 2, they're following Cubone, and that's when Marowak, the mother, pops up and tries to defend Cubone, and Rocket League member just gets upset and electrocutes her and kills her. So I guess they're not selling them because she becomes a ghost afterwards. And might I mention the inconsistencies? Marowak's ghost was speaking, and also Cubones wear their mother's skulls, but Marowak was trying to protect the Cubone, and it was clearly stated as a she, if I remember correctly. So a lot of inconsistencies for something trying to be very lore accurate.
Well, on the subject of that second episode and ghosts, ghosts and ghost-type Pokemon are ghost-type Pokemon are not ghosts, apparently.
Yeah, they mentioned the distinction. And also, isn't, though I'm not sure, because the later ones, there isn't a distinction in the later ones, but I'm pretty sure Ghastly, Haunter, and Gengar, some of the most important ghost types, are actually different. But later on in the games, they introduce characters that are, that once used to be human, and now they're like ghost-type Pokemon. So I guess the distinction's all right, personally.
I'm confused.
Is a ghost-type Pokemon a ghost? that's all I want to know.
I mean, it's always been, I think, pretty vague as to how it worked, but Like, I think the more questions you ask about Pokemon World, the more you'll find that it's nonsense. And, like, you just shouldn't care. It's a hero's journey. Enjoy it, whatever. The simple character development from someone with wanting to go on an adventure and not knowing what to do to someone who did something.
Still on the subject of that second episode, Red says, "Yeah, I'm going to the tower to see what's going on." And the nurse says, "Well, first you should go to Pokemon House." And he goes, "Why?" And then next scene, he's there. "I wonder why I had to come here. You were in front of the woman. You could have just asked her."
That's a very good point. They just skipped the reasoning, didn't they?
He had to go there so that he could get the fetch quest to help the old man. But
yeah, maybe I'll get some free items. Like, there are items laying all over the floor in the game. So you would think that he's picking up shit all the time to stop the ground. Oh, look, a Pokeball. Oh, look, berry. No, there was no berries in Red.
Can we talk about, going back to the first episode for a second, there's two things that that didn't upset me. It was just, first of all, Red's such an idiot that he tried to catch someone else's Nidoran. Yeah. So there's that. But what upset me the most was his fight against Brock when Onyx loses because he had one piece of string from the Metapod.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Like one particular string just reduced his speed by, and I quote, "a fraction of a second," and that's why he won the fight. I was like, what? What?
I don't think in the game you can... I mean, it's an attack that lowers your speed for a few turns. So, like, there's no freeing yourself or whatever. I just saw it as that, as like, whatever happens in the game.
I think the game equivalent would be using whatever string attack multiple times, and then like most of them have worn off except for one it's still affected by. But Scratch wasn't doing barely any damage to Geodude, and then Scratch just KOs Onix.
Because yeah. It was a critical.
Oh, okay.
It was a critical hit. It's random. Sometimes happens, sometimes don't.
Nobody said that, though, because the woman in the background says, "Oh, it's not very effective."
It was, to me, it was a laugh-out-loud moment, because yep. In the game you use the wrong type of attack on the wrong type of Pokemon, and it says, "It's not very effective." And she went, "Oh, it's not very effective."
Yep.
Like, it's a, I don't know, like, almost breaking the fourth wall.
I did write down, and I also wrote LOL next to it.
It's like, in real life, you do something, and you just do a joke, say it, in random situation, oh, it wasn't very effective. That's how it felt to me. Like, you and your friends played Pokemon, so you know the joke, and you just make it randomly. Because you would see that all the time in the games, so you would remember that probably.
So the final episode, he defeats the Elite Four. Like he tells us, he defeats the Elite Four, and then he has to face Blue, who has literally just become the champion, and Red becomes the champion, and gets his data input into that special room. Did Blue not get to do that? And also, afterwards, Red continues on his quest to fill up the Pokédex. Does he not have to keep going back to defend his champion title?
Oh my gosh, that's a good point. That's so annoying.
No, that's not how the game works. Once you become a champion, you're a champion.
But see, there's a problem. And it's that in the final episode, they fight Mewtwo. Like, I have a lot of issues with the final episode, but I'm going to start with my problem with Mewtwo not talking and just making that really nightmarish growl. That I had nightmares with that weird-ass sound he made. Second, I like how they were... So when they meet Mewtwo and Blue is talking about Mewtwo, he's bedridden. He's like, if I had caught that Pokemon, I would have had all 149. But how if there's only one Moltres, Zapdos, and Articuno?
Also, the fossil Because in the game, you get to choose one of two fossils to
turn
into a real living being. And it seems as though there's only those two fossils. There's not like two of each fossil.
Like, what? I don't know. That was a huge mishap. And then when he catches the Mewtwo, I had written this before they actually showed Mew in the end, but he somehow forgets the existence of Mew, and he goes back and is like, well, I guess I've caught everything now.
Yeah, I did write down, they kind of glossed over the fact that they didn't catch Mew, the thing Mewtwo is cloned from, because when Red somehow comes to the realization that there's another Pokemon, I mean, he's a complete idiot, I don't know how he worked it out. Professor Oak is surprised. Like, oh yeah.
How is Oak surprised? And honestly, if this is supposed to be loyal to the game, why did Charizard Mega Evolve?
Yeah, that wasn't a thing until
I believe that was until Ruby? X and Y, yes, you're totally right. So like, then the argument of this is just being loyal to the original game is completely debunked. How is Charizard Mega evolving?
I mean, that's just one thing. It's an adaptation. You need to change things. I think they made this as an anniversary thing. Like, it was anniversary of the games, and they were releasing X and Y, so they did the thing, and just the added Mega Evolutions, it doesn't really undermine everything else they did.
I would just like to point out as well, see, the thing is, Red, in all of his wisdom, goes and fights a Pokemon which he is aware is a psychic type, Mewtwo, because Blue mentions all the things he does. And the first thing our wonderful champion does is use Gengar, a ghost type.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing.
Isn't Gengar ghost poison? And poison types are strongest psychic?
I'm actually not sure about that.
Did they have multiple types in the first games?
They had in Fire Red, which is remake of Red.
Okay, so now you're arguing that this was based on Fire Red, not on the original games. Your back's going to give out from moving all these goalposts.
I mean, if it was based on a remake, then it was by proxy based on the original.
Fair, but I was still just shocked by all the wisdom in our champion just doing that.
Also, in the game, if you overlevel your Pokemon, your type doesn't matter. You could probably win everything just leveling your starter and overleveling all the time.
Okay, but that's
kind of what you do.
That doesn't work because Gengar loses. And B, on episode 3, you reminded me of this, Giovanni uses a Thunderbolt to kill Jolteon, in which he argues, and I quote, your Pokemon are too low level to fight me. But yet somehow, on the last two Pokemon, the clutch victory comes in as he uses two last Pokemon to beat Giovanni. What?
Sure. Doesn't he use a fighting move?
He does use a fighting move, that is true.
I mean, again, I think in general, as I said before, you just shouldn't think too much about it. Again, if you start thinking about how Pokemon World works, like, what do they eat? What do they eat?
Pokemon food.
Pidgeys. There's an overabundance of them anyway.
We don't kill Pokemon. And, like, do you also take Oddish and you just cut its hair and put it in your salad?
Okay, well, let's start wrapping things up. But was this a good adaptation?
Yeah.
I guess so. However much I hated it, it was a good adaptation of the Pokemon games. Apart from some misconsistencies.
Consistencies?
Like Marowak coming in and taking off the poison fog from Coffin. So that was, you know, like, it wasn't strictly one-on-one battles like it should be in the games, but it was good enough.
I thought it was a pretty much the most literal adaptation you could possibly make.
Yeah, like as an adaptation, it technically works as the video game. If the video game was made into a movie, this is how it would look.
It's better than Tekken was, at least.
Yeah.
So every episode we give movies a thumbs up, well, or OVAs a thumbs up, thumbs down, or a meh. So Artura.
That's a thumbs down for me.
And Guz?
Yeah, thumbs up.
I think I'm going to give it a thumbs up as well. It was animated well, it made me chuckle, and it wasn't bad in any way.
Yeah, again, I just couldn't fault it for what it is, what it's trying to be. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they achieved what they tried to do. And I didn't feel an urge to skip it, skip anything. I just watched it, and it moved at a nice pace.
I actually watched it at like 50% extra speed.
Well, at least they didn't replace the soundtrack with The Offspring.
Oh, they should have done that. Yeah. During the final battle or something. Or during the montage, it should be, "You're the best around."
Oh, dear. Well, thank you for joining me, guys.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grimcast podcast. And until next time, game on.